Welcome to the IRIS podcast. You're listening to a talk as part of the Crime and Justice Research Series, supported by the Higher Education Academy, CSAP Network, Scottish Centre for Crime and Justice Research, and IRIS. This talk was recorded on the 7th of June 2011. Fiona Mitchell is the coordinator for the Scottish Child Care and Protection Network, Young Runaways.
What I'm going to talk about today is an evaluation of a pilot project that was undertaken by Grampian Police in the northeast of Scotland. And the study was completed in 2010, and it was an evaluation of a return home welfare interview pilot project, which was undertaken by a collaborative research team working from researchers based at the University of Stirling and researchers based within Ipsos Moray, Scotland. But before I go on to talk about the specific findings of that study, I just want to give a bit of background so that you can think about what the implications are of the findings from that study for practice and policy. So the intervention was focused on responding to young runaways after the point at which they returned home, either to their current living circumstances or to elsewhere. And what the intervention aimed to do was to understand the reasons why young people have run away, you know, the triggers that led to them leaving at that point in time, but also beginning to look at, well, you know, what's happening in those young people's lives, to begin to try and think about what appropriate responses might be to any needs identified. So I think it's important to think about what do we actually know about young runaways and why is there a need for a service like this. So I think in terms of the current evidence base in relation to young runaways in the UK, we're actually in quite a strong position. There's been quite a significant amount of research undertaken in England and Wales as well as in Scotland that tells us a bit about the prevalence of running away, but also about the factors that lead young people to run away, what happens to them while they're away, and also we have an increasing understanding of what might work in working with different groups of young people who have run away. And I think one of the most important things for us to think about in relation to the evaluation of this pilot is that running away is actually quite a significant issue. So estimates suggest that 1 in 9 children and young people will run away overnight before the age of 16. So it's quite a significant proportion of our youth population. The research also indicates that running away is a real cause for concern. So we know that it's symptomatic of wider problems in young people's lives. We know for young people who run from home that it's often linked with problems within the family home, either family conflict, is also linked to experiences of abuse and neglect. It's also linked to issues in young people's lives within their peer networks, within school. We know for young people who go missing from care that there's different factors that can lead young people to run. Some researchers based at the University of York looking at context and triggers behind going missing from care, and they looked at different, they classified in relation to different factors like push and pull factors. So factors relating to the placement might be considered to be push factors, and pull factors might be that young people are motivated to run in order to try and reconnect with some of the social networks that have been disrupted since they've been placed in care. We also know that running away carries immediate risks for children and young people. We know that between, I think, a fifth and a third will sleep rough while away. We know that a proportion will experience actual harm, either physical or sexual. And we also know that running away is associated with longer-term risks of poorer outcomes. We know there's associations with homelessness. We know there's associations with offending. So it's an issue that we really should think about as a point at which we can intervene to respond to children and young people's needs. So the literature around about service responses thinks, it gives us some thoughts as to how we can respond. It talks about ways in which we can prevent running away, kind of whole population approaches around about education. It talks about ways in which we can attempt to identify young runaways. Not all young runaways are reported missing, so we have to find different ways in which we can identify them in order to respond to their needs. We have literature around about ways in which we can make immediate responses while they're away, so thinking about provision of emergency accommodation for young people while they're away from home. But also literature around about thinking about how do we intervene and plan appropriate ongoing responses to meet their needs after they return. And I suppose what the Return Home Welfare Interview pilot project offers is a mechanism through which to begin to try and do that. So as part of assessing an appropriate response to young runaways at the point of return, a number of early research studies recommended that non-statutory agencies attempt to talk to young people who've been reported missing when they return home. with a view to offering a listening ear, providing advice and information, but also potentially engaging with them where appropriate to think about seeking solutions to the issues that have led to them running away. From that earlier research, some of that's drawn upon practitioners' and managers' experiences of working with young runaways, and some of that literature suggests that perhaps non-statutory agencies are best placed to respond to young people, rather than, say, for example, the police, where young people have previously reported or viewed the young police with mistrust. However, the pilot project that I'm going to talk about is actually drawing on the work undertaken by Grampian Police Force. And what the pilot did is there was two models in operation, and then also we looked at current practice within another area within the Grampian Police Force area. So there was actually three models studied within the evaluation. One model involved a dedicated team which was set up and located alongside a young runaway service run by Bernardo's that was based within Aberdeen City. So the dedicated team consisted of two interviewers and a coordinator. Then the other model, which was an operation which was also evaluated, was operating in Elgin, where there was four community beat officers who conducted return home welfare interviews as part of their existing operational responsibilities, and they were supported by the coordinator who was part of the dedicated team. And then the third model in operation, which was also included within the evaluation, was looking at current practice within the police force. So that is, at the point at which when a young person is reported missing, a missing person report will be logged. The police will search for the young person. At the point at which the young person is identified, either through the police efforts to identify the young person or because they've been located some other way, the police will conduct what's called a safe and well check at the point that young person's located, to check and see if they're safe and well. That follows a standard procedure that's done for any person who's gone missing, irrespective of what age they are, and that's what cancels the missing person report. It has to be done and will not be done only with permission from a manager within the police force. It's kind of a routine procedure. So that's what happened within the Fraserburgh area. Within the Elgin and Aberdeen City areas, at the point at which the safe and well check was undertaken, a referral was then made for a return home welfare interview to be undertaken with the young person. So in both cases, the officers in the Aberdeen City area, that also included a civilian working to do return home welfare interviews, also would then follow up to arrange an interview with the young person, either through writing to them or making contact in some other way, to meet with them and to explore what happened prior to them going, the reasons why they'd gone, what happened while they were away, what did they experience, did they experience any risks while they were away. And that information would be used to inform referrals to other agencies. And those referrals were done in different ways for those two models. So within Elgin, a what's called an OPS 12 form would be sent on to the Family Protection Unit, and the Family Protection Unit would then make the judgment about if and when a referral should be made. Within the Aberdeen City team, they would potentially make referrals, but they would also send that form on to the Family Protection Unit. And they sent OPS 12 forms for all of their cases to the Family Protection Unit. So during the course of the evaluation, we looked at data collected about the incidences reported to the police during a 9-month period. We looked at the data we then had available in relation to young people who'd gone missing. So those two samples are different because young people could go missing more than once within the sample period. So we had a total of 459 incidences. We had a total of 176 young people. Now, we then also looked at a sample of cases where interviews had been undertaken, which I can talk about in a moment. So if we think about, I suppose, the key findings in relation to the conduct of the return home welfare interviews, in order to sum up what came out as the key findings from the evaluation, we concluded from the evaluation that the return home welfare interview was an appropriate intervention that did help to identify young people who require further support and help to refer them on to appropriate agencies. And even without an onward referral, it appeared that it could help to improve outcomes by helping young people appreciate the value of talking about their problems rather than running away. But in terms of helping to identify young people and also referring on, return home welfare interviews appeared to be of most benefit to young people who were not already involved with services. So just under a third of those who'd received an interview during the pilot period were not already involved with social services. Some social workers who were interviewed as part of the evaluation raised questions as to the value of the return home welfare interview for young people who were already involved with services, or for some young people who were looked after and accommodated. But we found that there could still be some benefits, such as additional information being revealed during the course of the interview, and also additional opportunities for young people to engage with others who weren't already involved within their lives. In terms of the different models, the return home welfare interviews in both Aberdeen and Elgin were more effective in practice in Fraserburgh in terms of the quality and the depth of information collected, and therefore the likelihood of them being able to identify support needs and make an appropriate referral. In terms of looking at the differences between the two models in Aberdeen and Elgin, they were both operating in quite different environments in terms of their size, in terms of the numbers of young runaways, in terms of the resources, and also in terms of their multi-agency working processes. So it was quite difficult for us to compare the different models in terms of their overall effectiveness and outcomes. Both models appeared to generally work quite well, and each had their own practical issues to contend with. There was no clear evidence that one model was better than the other. So we recommended that areas should make decisions based on what was likely to work best within their own particular local circumstances. But I think also within the findings, there's some key things to think about in relation to the conduct and delivery of return home welfare interviews. Our evaluation only focused on the delivery by police, but I think it was interesting to find, given previous literature suggested the police are not the most appropriate agency to respond, that among our respondents who were drawn from different key stakeholders from the teams themselves operating, from other agencies within the area, but also from young people themselves who experienced an interview, there was an overall consensus that the police were the most appropriate agency to conduct interviews. Young people were positive about their experiences of the interviews. They said they were able to relate well to the interviewers, and they felt it was appropriate for the police to conduct the interview. Some said that they thought social workers might be easier to speak to, so might be more suited. But in line with professionals' views, there was a feeling that it was the ability of a person to relate to a young person rather than where they'd come from or what agency they were from was the most important factor. Other reasons cited to support the police as the lead agency to undertake interviews was that police involvement could highlight the seriousness of running away. Being a lead could facilitate access to information from within police information systems that other agencies may not have access to. Police were seen as relevant because they were those who were most likely to have had an initial contact for young runaways, because they would search for them if there had been a missing person report. And also they might be better placed to respond quicker than other agencies, such as social work, because of the way in which the service operates. In general, young people felt that the police uniform shouldn't be worn by interviewers. So in terms of the delivery of the interviews, young people talked about the return home welfare interview as enabling them to share information. So if we compare it with the existing cancellation process as a part of missing persons, which is an obligatory process and that the police are required to undertake it, a young person can refuse to answer questions within it, but the police will make that approach and it's highly structured. The return home welfare interview was voluntary, and the interview teams attempted to make it as unstructured as possible. In terms of the information gathered and shared during that process, one of the key benefits across the two areas was that it provided an opportunity to obtain information about the young person that might not otherwise be available. And as I said, with a key difference being the quality and depth of information. So the interview was seen by those conducting it as having two main purposes. So identifying welfare issues, which would involve sharing of information about young persons' backgrounds, but also issues identified during the course of the actual interview, but also its relevance for intelligence gathering. And professional respondents suggested that the information that they'd received following or along with referrals following a return home welfare interview could provide them with a different perspective on young people's circumstances, and it often contained background information about young people's home situation, their families and friends, which was not otherwise known. also other information that came to light was useful in terms of where young people run to and who they spend their time with, and that was understood to be useful in the potential protection of other young people as well. For young people without statutory support, the return home welfare interview was often the first opportunity they'd had to discuss problems they were experiencing, and it allowed them to then link into services where they could access additional support. In terms of the data from young people's experiences, young people indicated that they tended to feel better after the interview. They'd found it useful to get things off their chest, particularly with someone who they hadn't known previously and who wasn't involved in other aspects of their lives. Their views were mixed as to whether or not the interview had made them less likely to run again. Some said they would be less likely to run and suggested that this was due to being given advice about talking to someone about the problems and ways of coping with the problems that they were experiencing in their lives, or that they then knew how to access help because they'd been given contact details by the interviewers. Another young person who responded in the evaluation said that they would not be less likely to run, but they'd be more likely to keep themselves or find ways to keep themselves safe while they were away. And then a smaller group said that they would not be less likely to run and had indeed run since their first interview during the course of the pilot. I think the most important thing for me that came out of the evaluation is that it is actually critical to find a way to identify and respond to young runaways, and what the return home welfare interviews do offer is a way to do that for some young runaways. But actually, in terms of assessing the overall effectiveness of interviews, that's dependent upon services then responding to those young people's needs. So while the return home welfare interview pilot demonstrated that they did identify young people who were in need and they did identify issues within their lives that needed to be responded to, we were unable to answer the question of whether or not those young people then received services that met those needs, because the evaluation didn't extend to that. But I think that the overarching message to take away is that we do have to find a way to respond better to young runaways in Scotland, and that perhaps introducing return home welfare interviews through the police may be a way to do that. Thank you very much.
This recording is copyright of IRIS 2011. It may be reused in the terms of Creative Commons licences, attribution, non-commercial, share-alike 2.5 UK Scotland licence. Go to www.iris.org.uk for more information.